Mr. Hamilton, good morning.
Good morning.
You would have heard there the TUV leader say it was an ego-stroking exercise. Is there any substance in that?
None.
You invited a lot of people across to Cardiff at significant expense, and they sat around a table and they talked and they chuckled and they got back in the white minibus and they came home. Was anything achieved?
Well, perhaps you haven't seen the agreed statement with the 9 points clearly identified on it that has agreement for all the, from all the parties that were there, from every delegate that was there.
Yeah, I've seen it. Sir, as we were trying to get through to you, I was reading it out as well while you were lining up the telephone call. And, you know, I must say, it's pretty standard stuff. You know, like, children at GCSE could have written that statement.
Well, perhaps they could, but what this was about was identifying that there were tensions between police and the community against the backdrop of the last 6 months that we've had around flag protests and everything else. And this is about the policing operations and about the relationship between police and the community. Now, the things that are in that list that we have agreed are the things that people are telling us and that we agreed that needed to be communicated to those communities. So for me, it's actually very important to hear the full range, the full spectrum of people that were in that room saying that they reaffirm their support for the police service of Northern Ireland, that they recognise and support the police responsibility to uphold the law in a manner that is fully accountable. That is a very powerful message to go out. It's important, for example, Mr. Alistair was just commenting upon people who are now getting prosecuted for blocking roads and all the rest of it. You know, the fact that everyone in that room, are agreeing to communicate the consequences for communities and individuals in breaking the law, that's important. The people stating publicly that they recognise that they have a responsibility to explain those consequences in a practical and understandable way. That's not ego-stroking. That's identifying consequences, keeping people, mainly young people, out of the criminal justice system, allowing us to get through this summer with reduced tension and hopefully much safer than we have in the past.
But, Mr. Hamilton, it is one thing writing it down in a statement and being able to deliver on it is quite another thing. We commit to resolve our differences through dialogue and non-violent means underpinned by the principles of equality, inclusiveness, respect for difference and non-discrimination. Try telling that to someone when they start arguing about the route of a parade or a flag in July.
What we were agreeing was how the police would interact with communities. We weren't there to discuss specific parading problems and all the rest of it. That is for a different domain. That is
no, but you have loyalists and Republicans signing up to what I've just read out. Can they deliver on that?
Well, that'll be a matter for them. All of us have an obligation to do what we have said we're going to do. And if we do that, then it creates the environment for reduced tension, and the volatility reduces, it's less likely that we'll have violence and disorder this summer if everybody does what they said they're going to do. And I have no reason to doubt that people, my experience at Cardiff was that people entered into it in good faith. It was very frank. It was very forthright discussions. But actually, people dealt with each other respectfully. And as a result of that, at the end of the 3 days, we've come up with these agreements that will help us through this summer.
So the PSNI have agreed to explain in advance the general principles by which policing will be delivered in major public events. Surely people who are paying the salaries of the police officers expect them to go in and arrest people if they're causing mayhem and pandemonium in society. Do you need to explain that, or are you explaining that you're not going to do that?
No. Well, what we're doing is explaining to people the general principles by which we'll run policing operations. So that'll be about, we're going to protect life. We're going to fulfil our obligations in relation to balancing the rights of those involved in parades or protests against those that want to go about their daily business. And most importantly, we're going to gather evidence, we're going to identify offenders, we're going to fulfil our responsibilities to bring those responsible for breaking the law to justice.
Yeah, but so, sir, with all due respect, that sounds like what I said, a GCSE essay. You know, my daughter could have written that without going to Cardiff.
Well, that's all well and good. I'm telling you that the point that we're trying to get to was to repair relationships, to identify what was causing tension, and to do something about it. Now, you might wish to dismiss it as something that a GCSE student could do. We were listening to communities. We agreed, as the police service and as the community, been reflected through the reps and through the political leaders, that these were things that needed to be spelt out so that everybody knew where they stood and we could hold each other to account for actually delivering what we said we were going to deliver. That seems to me like a sensible thing to do to reduce tension.
One thing a GSE student couldn't do is handle the situation whenever there's a crisis midsummer. That everyone totally accepts. So is there the possibility that the most accountable police force in Europe is now so accountable it can't do its job?
No, as a police service, we welcome the accountability mechanisms, and actually we think that is one of the things that gives us confidence, that gives us community confidence and gives us respect, because we are held to account through the Office of the Police Ombudsman, through the Policing Board, and even through less formal structures. We welcome that. We think it's a healthy thing for policing and a healthy thing for confidence in policing. And, you know, in this discussion, we should just bear in mind the journey that we have been on and the progress that we have made. Right across Northern Ireland, confidence in policing is at an all-time high. Crime levels are lower than they have been for many years. Detection rates are improving. And we have a whole new mechanism for dealing with lower-end offending with the PPS that's actually helping us to divert young people away from crime rather than chasing them after the crime has occurred. So I think we're in a very positive place generally, but we would have been foolish. We wouldn't have been fulfilling our responsibility if we had ignored the backdrop of the last 6 months as we move into the summer season.
Are you sure that confidence in policing is at an all-time high when you look back at the crisis that happened in December?
Well, we've got independent surveys done that show that, even taking account of what happened in December, that confidence in policing right across the jurisdiction has continued to increase. So in the last year, for example, there's around a 4% increase in confidence in policing. People are increasingly satisfied with the service that they're getting. However, we recognise that in some areas, particularly those affected by some of the disorder that we have seen, that we have a job of work to do, because that general increase in confidence is not reflected in all loyalist and republican working class areas. So why wouldn't we identify the specific problem and go and take specific measures, like we've done this weekend, to address those confidence deficits?
Now, I know that,
common sense.
I know there's a victims representative on the line who's got a question. You don't have to answer it. He's asking the question, but I'll just listen to the question anyways. Raymond McCord. Raymond, you have a question. Go ahead, ask the question anyway, Raymond.
I'd like to ask Mr. Holmes, now that we're public representatives and from the communities, and from the unionist community, and I see people that are representing paramilitary organisations. Those paramilitary organisations do not represent the unionist community. 15 years off the Good Friday Agreement, we have still people in the unionist community being attacked and beaten by these people, murdered by these people. I myself live under threat. And yet the police, for some reason only known to them, to invite these sort of people. These people do not represent the unionist community. They shouldn't be there.
Why did you choose some people to go to the meeting, Mr. Hamilton, and not other people? Obviously, the UVF were well and truly represented there. Some residence groups weren't represented. How did you decide on who was most relevant to resolving the issue?
Well, what we did was brought together groups of people that we engage with to try to help us resolve issues when tensions rise and when disorder is occurring. We had to keep this group at a manageable size. There were over 30 people in the room. That was difficult enough, but it showed the broad diversity of feeling and of groups across the problem of policing and the relationships of policing with communities and where those relationships have been damaged and tensions have been raised.
When do you meet again? Because that's part of the agreement as well. There's going to be ongoing meetings. When do you team up again?
Well, we're hoping to do that within weeks. We need, obviously, people's diaries have to be taken into account and all the rest of it. So I would be hoping within the next 3 to 4 weeks that we'd be able to reconvene and start to work out the detail of taking some of this stuff forward.
And finally, why is it that the next meeting can be here, but the first meeting couldn't have been here? It had to be in Cardiff.
Well, it didn't have to be. But we were working on the basis that these are a lot of busy people. We needed to get them away to a neutral place. We needed to create the time and space to have the conversation free of distractions, free of constituency business and policing operations and all the rest of it. And it is simply an issue of good practice and something that we know that has worked well in the past. And I think the outcome from Cardiff shows that, that there was value in doing this.
Assistant Chief Constable, thanks very much for your time this morning. Thank you. That is George Hamilton, who is the SEC with the PSNI.